RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, here are the programs for today's edition on Thursday, January the 4th, 2018. As usual, we will begin with the news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, Indonesian Wonder, and Miscellany. And we will end today's edition, as usual, with the music program called Music Corner. Listener, that is our program for today, so stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo asking his ministers to keep working in the political year. President Joko Widodo wants youth skill improvement to be paid attention. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo has asked his minister to keep focusing on working in 2018, on which it is well known as political year. In his remark at the cabinet plenary meeting taking place in Jakarta on Wednesday, President Joko Widodo highlighted the higher trust of the international community towards Indonesia due to Indonesian efforts in supporting national economic resilience. The president has asked his minister to focus in increasing national economy.
Dan untuk tahun ini, walaupun tahun 2018
ada. As for this year, even though 2018 is a political year, once again I ask to keep focusing on working in a bid to increase economic growth, dealing with inequality as well as reducing the poverty rate. The trust of the international community has been increasing due to our works, namely reforming the permit regulation for doing business in Indonesia. We know that the Fitch rating has announced our growing rent from BBB- to BBB with a stable outlook. The main factor is Indonesian effort to improve its economic resilience against any turbulences and our consistency to maintain such stability. With all we have done during the past year, we must improve it in 2018.
Upaya Indonesia untuk terus meningkatkan ketahanan ekonominya terhadap guncangan, terutama guncangan eksternal, dan secara konsisten kita terus bisa menjaga stabilitas itu. Dan apa yang sudah kita kerjakan pada tahun yang lalu harus kita perbaiki terus di 2018 ini.
The cabinet plenary meeting was conducted to discuss steps to be taken. During 2018, President Joko Widodo has asked his minister to start working from early here, saying that he has submitted the lizard budget implementation of locally called DIPA at the end of 2017 to support ministries and agencies in implementing various world programs. The president also reminded his ministry and agency that the world program being implemented does not become a monotonous program, so that poverty and social inequality in the country can really be solved. President Joko Widodo wants the government to pay more attention to develop human resources, namely by adding more skill and education towards Indonesian youths. In his remark during the cabinet plenary meeting taking place in Jakarta on Wednesday, President Joko Widodo said that the Indonesian nation has high demographic bonus due to the high number of Indonesian youngsters. He views that such demographic bonus should be utilized by providing more vocational training and education for the youth. I want that in 2018 we pay attention to improve our human resources investment. Our citizens are about 250 million people and 60% of them are the youth. This demographic bonus should be our strength and chance through the improvement of education quality and vocational training, as what we have started in 2017. Furthermore, President Joko Widodo has ordered his minister to improve Indonesian manpower qualification, saying that the better qualification of manpower will meet more industrial needs. The president also hopes that trainings and skill touch vocational school can meet industrial needs as well. He also remarked that there is still a lot of Indonesian manpower with low educational level that requires the government's attention to improve their skill by expanding training programs within the country. The assistance of micro small scale enterprises UMKM must be able to encourage economy and welfare of people. Thus, UMKM must be supported continuously for the sake of development of a country. This was stated by Acting Secretary General of the House of Representatives DPR, Damayanti, at the meeting of Retired Unity of Secretary General of House of Representatives at the Parliamentary Building in Jakarta on Wednesday.
UMKM
has flexibility and capability to adapt toward market which changes faster. It has also big contribution for the economy development of a country because it can provide specific service for huge business which is assumed less efficient in cost. Moreover, Damayanti also expects that the business people of UMKM can boost their quality products so the products can be competitive and received well by many people. President Joko Widodo appreciated the decreasing number of poor people in Indonesia. However, he reasons that there is still a lot of homework to be done by improving the poverty gap index to a better rank. The discussion on eradicating poverty raised during the cabinet plenary meeting that took place at the State Palace in Jakarta on Wednesday, President Joko Widodo remarked that the Central Bureau of Statistics (BPS) has launched its research result that the number of poor people in Indonesia decreased to 26.58 million people, or about 10.12% of the total citizens. However, the president mentioned that Indonesia still has homework to reduce the poverty gap index, thus he views that this can be done by maintaining inflation rate among citizens.
Tapi kita masih memiliki pekerjaan rumah untuk menurunkan indeks kedalaman kemiskinan dan indeks keparahan kemiskinan.
We still have homework to reduce the poverty gap index in rural and urban areas. So I remind all to maintain inflation rate and prices of staples, including the RASTRA program on non-cash food assistance to be distributed early in 2018 and to be fast and precise, as well as the cash for work programs at the ministries. Moreover, President Joko Widodo said that he has received report that the 2018 village funds can be disbursed in January as much as 20% of the total funds. The president expects that the funds can be utilized to support people's economic improvement program in Indonesia. Chief of the National Cyber and Encryption Agency, BSSN, Major General Joko Setiade has revealed that his office will use the latest sophisticated technology in counterterrorism to assist the National Police Polri. He also noted that terrorism has penetrated the cyber world through the communication system, which is difficult to penetrate. He added that his agency will detect and monitor hoaxes that could affect the national unity. Major General Joko Setiade views that BSSN will be directed towards the development of ecosystem of Indonesian cyber world, which is safe and resilient. Investors of Japan and the USA are interested to build wind power plant in Pandeglang, Banten province. Deputy Regent of Pandeglang, Tanto Warsono Arban, said on Wednesday that two areas, namely Panimban and Cikusit sub-district in Pandeglang, will become locations of the development of the power plant. Tanto Warsono added that the locations are independent power plant. It means that there is no financial support from regional government. As quoted by Antara, U.S. investor will build the power plant in Chikusik, while investor from Japan will develop the power plant in Panimbang. The last item, the rupiah strengthened against the U.S. dollar at the start of 2018 thanks to the improving domestic economy. This was stated by Governor Bank Indonesia BI Agus Martowadoyo on Wednesday. The improving domestic economy is reflected by the rising inflow of foreign funds to the capital market and into foreign currency supply. He also said that in general, the rupiah has strengthened thanks to the good domestic economy despite risks from external factors. Governor Agus Martowadoyo assured that domestic economic fundamentals will remain unaffected despite volatile global situation due to the Fed rate adjustment and U.S. tax reforms. This news coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Coordinating Minister for Economy Affairs Darmin Nasution said that poverty rate and inequality continue to reduce in the past couple of years. He also said that the government is trying to reduce poverty through community programs such as family programs, subsidies, education, and health care. In addition, the government distributes financial aid directly to the poor. The government also is trying to address inequality by launching the community forest program that includes revitalization of rubber and palm oil plantation and at improving land productivity that will in turn improve farmers' welfare. The minister further said that the efforts will gradually reduce poverty rate and inequality in the next few years. They will be rolled out in 2018. Equality will be achieved reducing inequality and poverty rate. The government discusses management of satellite and slot orbit belonging to Indonesia to support development in Indonesia. Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs Wiranto said after a limited meeting in Jakarta on Wednesday that the satellite and orbital governance is carried out in line with changes in interest, environmental conditions and current technology. As quoted by Antara, Minister Wiranto explained that the plan of satellite and orbital governance does not currently finish being formulated by related ministries. Meanwhile, Minister of State on Enterprises Rini Sumarno explained that the discussion is focused on expiration of licenses of 7 satellites orbits of Indonesia in 2020. Chairman of Supervisory Board of Regional Board of Association of Young Entrepreneurs Indonesia of Riau Province, Ahmi Septari, said that Riau Province is supposed to be a new display of economy in ASEAN region by using strategy location in line with the concept of trade of ASEAN Economic Community, AEC. Moreover, ASEAN countries are potential to become center for world trade. As quoted by Antara, Ms. Septari also said in Pekanbaru on Tuesday that the province is an appropriate region located surrounding ASEAN countries so that the concept of regional economic development has been worth being developed in order Indonesia exists and is directly involved in international trade. The last item, the rupiah exchange rate in the interbank transaction in Jakarta on Tuesday morning rose 23 points to 13,452 rupiah per US dollar. Bina Arta Sekuritas analyst Reza Priyambara said in Jakarta on Tuesday that an auction of government bonds early this year became one of the factors of rising rupiah exchange rate. He also explained that the auction of state bonds made the demand for rupiah increase and encouraged the appreciation of rupiah in the domestic foreign exchange market. Reza added that Indonesian inflation data, which throughout 2017 is considered stable and one of domestic currency buffers. He hopes stable inflation can be maintained in a bid to give positive sentiment to rupiah in the future. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Facing Cyber Threat. President Joko Widodo established Cyber and Sandi Negara BSSN. This body was formed through Presidential Regulation No. 53/2017, which was then revised to be Presidential Decree or PEPRES No. 133/2017. In the regulation, head of a BSSN and its deputy are directly responsible to the president. The threat in cyberspace is an finite threat. A serious threat to cyberterrorism is the threat of terrorism and warfare via cyberspace. In regard to the establishment, President Joko Widodo said the distance of the BSSN is very important and in the future it is needed by the state, especially in anticipating the rapid development of cybercrime in the world. In addition, the threats are increasingly diverse from development of cyber abroad, so Indonesia must immediately respond to the challenge. Previously, Marshal Hadi Cahyanto, in presenting his vision and mission before Commission 1 of the House of Representatives DPR, said that terrorism, the threat of war and conflict are global challenges that need anticipating. Among the possible threats, hybrid war is the one that combines conventional, irregular and cyber wars. Marshal Hadi also said that in one hand, the rapid development of information technology is also increasingly supporting the movement of individuals or groups of terrorism to realize their interest. On the other hand, cyber warfare must also be a major consideration in the implementation of national defense and security functions. Meanwhile, during the discussion on policy paper of Indonesian cyber diplomacy, now and later, November 2017 in Yogyakarta, the Minister of Foreign Affairs declared that cyber diplomacy is absolutely necessary to respond
to the challenges and problems arising from development of cyber technology that cannot be separated from millennial communities nowadays. In this regard, head of the Center for Policy Review and Development of Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Fikri Kashidi, said that nationally, the cyber technology challenge is well responded by the government. He feels that the policy paper is prepared to support national policy in the field of cyber by contributing ideas on defining the position and strategy of Indonesian cyber diplomacy. The technology of the virtual world is growing rapidly without a clear boundary. Indeed, the government of Indonesia should respond and be proactive in facing cyber governance through multilateral and regional forums. Without the regulation and legal basis for addressing the cyberspace, Indonesia will be powerless in its efforts. At present, almost all aspects use cyber technology in their activity. Moreover, the growth of internet and information technology has increased more than 8 times since 2000, with more than 3 billion users. Based on the growth of and development, colonization and crime can now happen not only in the real world but also through the virtual world. Therefore, without clear legal basis, the handling of cyber threats and other devices will threaten the existence of state, not only in terms of security economy but also socio-culture. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our regular program Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Well, we start for an event on January 4, 1948 when Myanmar was granted independence. Myanmar, officially the Republic of Union of Myanmar and formerly known as Burma, is a sovereign state in Southeast Asia. Its capital is Naypyidaw, and its largest city and former capital is Yangon, or formerly known as Rangoon. Myanmar has been a member of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, ASEAN, since 1997. In the 16th century, reunified by the Tungo dynasty, they included modern Myanmar and briefly controlled Manipur and Assam as well. The British took over the administration of Myanmar after a three Anglo-Burmese wars in the 19th century and the country became a British colony. Myanmar was granted independence in 1948 as a democratic nation. Following a coup d'etat in 1962, it became a military dictatorship. In 2011, the military junta was officially dissolved following a 2010 general election, and a nominally civilian government was installed. This, along with the release of Aung San Suu Kyi and political prisoners, has improved the country's human rights record and foreign relations and has led to the easing of trade and other economic sanctions. This is however continuing criticism of the government's treatment of ethnic minorities, its response to the active insurgency and religious clashes. In the landmark 2015 election, Aung San Suu Kyi's party won a majority in both houses. However, the Burmese military remains a powerful force in politics. Listener, the next event was in 1999 when European Zone united in the unity of currency euro. 11 members of the European Union, namely Austria, Belgium, Finland, France, Germany, Ireland, Italy, Luxembourg, and Netherlands, Portugal, and Spain, hoped one currency will improve European integration and improve the economy. On its inaugural day, the euro closed with a strong inert value, $1.17. By design, the currency is decorated with images and symbols of European unity and completed with motifs representing member states. But on January 1, 2002, the euro consisted of 8 coins and 7 banknotes officially circulated. However, one currency is not without controversy. There is a concern that this change process will cause chaos, costly, and lead to inflation, even if it can make a country lose its economic policy control. It makes United Kingdom, Sweden and Denmark choose not to use the euro currency. And the last event was in 2004 when Spirit landed on Mars. Spirit, also known as Mer-A, Mars Exploration Rover A, or Mer-2, was a roboted rover on Mars, active from 2004 to 2010. It was one of the two rovers of NASA's ongoing Mars Exploration Rover mission. It landed successfully on Mars at around 4:35 Crown UTC on January 4, 2004. 3 weeks before its twinned opportunity, Mer-B landed on the other side of the planet. Its name was chosen through a NASA-sponsored student essay competition. The rover became start in late 2009, and its last communication on Earth was sent on March 22, 2010. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Hello, listeners. This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Nice to be attuned in our regular program, Indonesiaku, or My Indonesia. The title of today's Indonesiaku is Tourism Areas Addressing Waste Control at Sea. It's the start of the Cabinet Secretary for Economy, Affairs and People's Welfare. M. Amperawan said that some areas that have become tourism icons have similar problems, namely the threat of waste contamination at sea, especially plastic waste. These areas are Wakatobi District, Raja Ampat Regency, West Manggarai Regency, Manado City and Morotai District. When delivering the result of his visit to this area some time ago, this was affirmed by Amperawan in Jakarta on last Friday. He feels that the plastic waste has become a threat to the environment that brings about negative impact on human life because the garbage cannot decay and takes hundreds of years to destroy naturally. Amperawan estimates that by 2050, the amount of plastic waste deposited in the ocean will be more than the number of fish. Thus, he calls for immediate control and utilization of plastic waste to be reduced, at least not growing fast as expected. Amperawan also delivered the result of his visit to Gianyar Regions, Bali, and met with Regent of Gianyar, Anat Agung Gede Agung Barata, and the official of Gianyar District Government Device Work Unit, SKVD. Amperawan reported that the Gianyar Regency government has issued Gianyar Regency regulation on the implementation of household waste and garbage management. He also stated that Regent Gianyar Anat Agung Gede is aware that if the garbage is not managed properly and correctly, it can bring about negative impacts on social, economic, and environmental aspects. Based on the local regulation, Gianyar administration has built rigs or waste barrier nets to collect the garbage flown from the three streams. The rigs are built in three river points, namely upstream, middle, and downstream rivers. With the rigs, the district government hopes that waste, especially plastic waste, does not end up at sea. Amperawan also remarked that as a tourist area, Gianyar does not want any contamination of plastic waste and its sea, because it can damage the image of tourism in the eyes of the tourist. Garbage control was done by giving customary sanctions to people who throw garbage carelessly as applied in Panglipuran Village, Bangli Regency. Meanwhile, to obtain data and information related to the utilization of plastic waste, Amperawan claimed to have visited Purbalingga Regency, Central Java Province in early November. He visited vaping block factory made from plastic waste in Jetis Village and waste garbage bank in Muntan Village, Kemangkon Sub-District, Purbalingga District. Amperawan also praised one of the garbage banks in Purbalingga which has gained achievement, namely Waste Bank Pustaka led by Raden Roro Hendarti. This garbage bank combines garbage bank and library services.
Well, listener, that was Indonesiaku, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening. Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. President Joko Widodo has asked his minister to keep focusing on working in 2018, on which it is well known as political year. In his remark at the cabinet plenary meeting taking place in Jakarta on Wednesday, President Joko Widodo highlighted the high trust of the international community towards Indonesia due to Indonesian efforts in supporting national economic resilience. President Joko Widodo wants the government to pay more attention to develop human resources, namely by adding more skill and education towards Indonesian youth. The assistance of micro-small-scale enterprises, UMKM, must be able to encourage economy and welfare of people. Thus, UMKM must be supported continuously for the self-development of a country. This was stated by Acting Secretary General of the House of the Representatives DPR, Damayanti, at the meeting of Retired Unity of Secretary General of the House of Representatives at the Parliament Building in Jakarta on Wednesday. President Joko Widodo appreciated the decrease in number of poor people in Indonesia. However, he reasons that there is still a lot of homework to be done by improving the poverty gap index to a better rank. Coordinating Minister for Economy Pers Darmi Nasution said that poverty rate and inequality continue to reduce in the past couple of years. The government discusses management of satellite and slot orbit belonging to Indonesia to support development in Indonesia. Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs Wiranto said after a limited meeting in Jakarta on Wednesday that satellite and orbit governance is carried out in line with the changes in interest, environmental conditions and current technology. Chairman of Supervisory Board of Regional Board of Association of Young Entrepreneurs Indonesia of Riau Province, Ahmi Septari, said the Riau Province is supposed to be a new display of economy in ASEAN region by using strategic location in line with the concept of trade of the ASEAN Economic Community, AEC. The rupiah exchange rate in the interbank transactions in Jakarta on Tuesday morning rose 23 points to 13,452 rupiah per US dollar. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to the regular Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you traveling to the land of Papua. Stay tuned. Listener, if you want to enjoy the trip while learning the history with an easy access, please visit to South Jayapura Regency, Papua Province. Nearly to the center of the capital city of Papua, you can find a beach that is a mixture of natural and historical tourism. The beach is called Hamadi Beach. To get to Hamadi Beach, you can firstly board the plane from Soekarno-Hatta Airport to Sentani International Airport in Jayapura. Then from the city of Jayapura, you can continue the trip by public transportation with a tariff of about 5,000 rupiah to 10,000 rupiah, or you can use Ojek or two-vehicle taxi service with a tariff of 10,000 to 30,000 rupiah. If you feel the breeze on the way from Jayapura City, it means you are close to Hamadi Beach, which is located near the highway. Then you will pass through the gate of Hamadi Beach area. To enter the beach location, you will be charged 10,000 rupiah for entrance fee of two-wheeled vehicles and 20,000 rupiah for four-wheeled vehicles. Listener, when arriving at the Hamadi Beach area, you will be greeted by the fresh air and beautiful scenery. You can also enjoy green trees, mangrove forest, and white sand around Hamadi Beach. Hamadi Beach will be more interesting when sea tide, because there is a phenomenon called by the local people as the flying waves. The flying waves occur when large waves from the high seas hit against artificial coral walls. The waves can spill up to 5 to 8 meters high. On the 5-hectare Hamadi Beach, you can also find remnants of the Second World War. The most easily discovered of historical relics are the remains of an Allied defense fortress that stretches 2 kilometers long. If you go around, you can find many other historical relics, such as cannons. After swimming and traveling around Hamadi Beach, you can unwind by relaxing in the huts that are rented with a price ranging from 25,000 to 100,000 rupiah. In the lodges, you can enjoy fresh and clean air from the sea. After you have certified to play in Hamadi Beach, do not forget to buy souvenirs for your family and friends. Not far from Hamadi Beach area, there is a souvenir and local handicraft center called Hamadi Central Market. Besides being able to buy souvenirs, you can also find a monument that commemorates the landing of the Allied forces precisely in front of Hamadi Central Market. Listener, that was the regular Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Hamadi Beach in Jayapura. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in My Language, informing you the traditional languages of Indonesia. Listener, Indonesia has 652 traditional languages. However, only 71 had been through language vitality study by Language Development and Fostering Agency. From those 71, 11 traditional languages were found extinct. Therefore, what makes a traditional language extinct?
Faktor-faktor dari kepunahan itu sendiri banyak ya, contohnya.
There are many factors such as the decreasing speakers, war, and great natural disaster. Intermarriage between tribes can also cause extinction. Most importantly, we need to avoid having negative attitude towards the languages, such as thinking that your language is not prestigious or backwards.
Kurang positif terhadap bahasanya, misalnya menganggap bahasa daerahnya itu kurang prestise gitu. Atau kalau memakai bahasa daerah itu disebut kampungan dan sebagainya gitu.
Losing language means losing creativity and intellectual property as the treasure of the humanity. Language is not merely a bunch of words or a set of rules, but treasure of a humanity thoughts.
Bahkan UNESCO pada tahun 2008 ketika
even in 2008 when recognizing the International Mother Language Day, UNESCO stated that when a language extinct, we had just lost an invaluable heritage. Many legends, poems, and knowledge inherited by many generations are also lost. We can recognize a wealth of nation by its main heritage, its nature, and mainly the language. When a nation is rich of its diverse languages, one can know that the nation is rich of everything. Preservation of traditional language is a duty of all people of Indonesia. Indonesian people are expected to find in their hearts the willingness to preserve the traditional language as the cultural heritage and wealth of the nation. Listener, that was My Language, a program informing you the diverse traditional language in Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to the regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present nostalgic pop songs from Indonesian female singer Rafika Duri. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Hanya Untukmu by Rafika Duri. Enjoy the song.
Pertama didikanmu, kedua bisikanmu menggoda hatiku setiap waktu. Thank you.
Rafiq Kaduri is a singer who began to famous among Indonesian music lovers in 1970s. Two songs composed by Arianto entitled Hanya Untukmu and Tertusuk Duri have raised Rafika's name in the Indonesian music industry. Moreover, through the song Hanya Untukmu, Fika received the Gayagam Award at the International Song Festival in 1978. In fact, the singer, who was born in Bangka on January 20, 1960, already started to sing since she was 11 years old. At that time, the singer, who is familiarly called Fika, became the first winner of Pop Singer in Bangka. Since she won the singing contest, Rafika Duri moved to Jakarta and attended a singing course. Well, before we continue to know about Rafika Duri's career, let's listen to the next song entitled Mengapa Harus Jumpa. Happy listening. Listener, that was the song by Rafika Duri entitled Mengapa Harus Jumpa. After following the singing course, Rafika Duri followed the radio and television singing contest or Bintang Radio Televisi BRTV in 1976. At that time, she performed with Harvey Malaiholo, who were managed to come out as the champion. Then they often released a duet song such as the songs entitled Cinta Pertama and Permata Hati. The song Cinta Pertama tells about the first love story, while the song Permata Hati tells the story about someone who fall in love with the beloved one. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Cinta Pertama and Permata Hati by Rafika Duri. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
tak berjumpa sangat senang mendengar suaramu. Hello sayang, begitu satu hari terasa sewindu. Hello sayang, ku ingin bertemu, aku ingin memandang bahagia hatiku. Hampir tak percaya katamu padaku.
Masa-masa yang indah bersamamu kan datang. Tiada lagi rintangan
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.